we might as well call the teleconference go-to meeting for community development committee meeting to order. Are you going to take roll call, Dave?
Sure.
Okay.
This conference will now be recorded.
Councilmember Fagerly?
Here.
Councilmember Davis?
Here.
Councilmember Schwantes?
Here.
And Councilmember Miske?
Here.
All present and counted for, sir.
All right. City Administrator Grammets is here. Ben Larson is here. And I think Shelby from the Tribune here, too.
Yes, she is.
All right. So first item First item is allowance of chickens in residential zones. And David, you're going to lead the discussion.
All right. Thank you, Chair Fagerly. Tonight we have for informational purposes, a discussion on allowing chickens in residential zones of Wilmer. In December 2012, the current city ordinance states that chickens are prohibited in all zoning districts in the city except the AG or industrial districts, within which no more than 50 chickens may be kept. The discussion item for tonight has been initiated by Mr. Ben Larson and community members interested in revisiting the ordinance and allowing chickens in residential zones. As modeled by other Minnesota cities such as Minneapolis, Fergus Falls, and New London. We have received 20 letters and emails, 14 of which are letters of support, which I forwarded to the council, and 6 letters of opposition. 2 letters of opposition from organizations, one from 2 citizens, and the other 3 are internally from staff. Did you want me to read who those letters came from, Mr. Chair?
That'd be fine.
Okay, we have letters of support from, and forgive me if I don't pronounce people's last names correctly, Amanda Zupke, Andrea Limoges, Dory Twett, Hans and Victoria Hidma, Jim Eichens, Carrie Statham, Kelsey Christensen, Lee Niece and Family, Michelle Cordy, Nathan Cooley, Rachel Foss, Rachel Powell, Ramey Jorsham, Tyler Knott. We received letters of opposition from Grace and Karen Swallen, Select Genetics, and from Dr. Cardona at the University of Minnesota's Department of Veterinary and Biological Sciences. We also included in your packet was an email from Jim Felt, Police Chief, and Judy Thompson, Clerk. And I would gather from my emails shared with you that you would know that I am opposed to it also. With that, I will open it up with any. I'll return it back to you, Mr. Chair.
Thanks, Dave. Well, since Mr. Larson is here, you want to explain to the committee what your reasoning is for having chickens in the city limits of Wilmer?
Sure. So I have a nonprofit that has worked on food security issues for around the last 3 years. Initially, it was, food desert issues. Most of Wilmer is a food desert, about 3/4 of it is. And we primarily do vegetables, but we were looking at, how can we expand this so people can have protein with eggs? And I feel like now is a pretty pertinent time to look at this when, a lot of, food production places are closing down. I started on this about a year ago. I looked at a lot of other cities You know, like New London, like Minneapolis, and I said, okay, if they can do that, like, can we do this in Wilmer as well? We reached out to the Public Health Law Center, and they sort of assessed our current ordinance. And they found that there was kind of a lot of gray area in our current ordinance. And they just, it was really difficult for them to assess it. So then I worked a little bit with the Statewide Health Initiative Program. I sort of wrote up a draft ordinance. I had them look at it, and then we also sent that off to the Public Health Law Center. And they gave me some notes on, you know, like some different permitting things that they felt would need to go into an ordinance to make it work. And then just sort of best practices from other cities as well. You know, like not having too many chickens, they felt, you know, that four is a good number for people to keep. Cities that do it right make sure that, you know, that you have to draw up your coop to prove that you have enough room for your chickens and that it's far enough away from your neighbors and it's in your backyard and well kept. I also thought that something that should be added is, you know, when people have to apply that, you know, that they should do a compost plan as well. I kind of tried to just take, okay, these are some issues that cities have ran into. It's typically with smell and noise. And I tried to say, okay, well, if Wilmer had an ordinance, how can we take care of that? A compost plan would certainly do that. You just have to make sure you have enough carbon in there, you know, with wood chips or straw. And with four hens, I mean, I had chickens growing up as a kid. And I mean, hens are at about 60 decibels, and that's about what I'm talking at right now. So I feel like if that's far enough away from your neighbors, that probably wouldn't be an issue. I also saw, well, the city of Minneapolis allows roosters, which I think is absolutely crazy. as I had roosters growing up, and they were so loud. So I figured that probably shouldn't go in an ordinance for Wilmer, as, you know, you'd run into complaints. So what I did is I wanted to submit a council action request to say, you know, this ordinance that I wrote up is just a starting point. I tried to address some issues that maybe some other cities have ran into, but there are other negotiables that other cities have done as well in their ordinance, you know, like making sure your neighbors sign off on all that. And typically they give like 5 days to your neighbors to sign off or say no. So there's other things that could go in. So I think this would be a good place to talk about it. There are a lot of families that are interested in this in Wilmer right now. You know, 16 letters or 14 or 16 letters is probably a lot of letters for one issue. And that was in a very short amount of time that I solicited those letters. So there would probably be a lot more. I feel like there's other cities that do this, and I think that Wilmer wouldn't have an issue with doing this as well. And I'm open to any questions too.
Well, I was on the council when we looked at it before, and we had in there that the neighbors had to agree. What we found is the neighbor that wanted the chickens would go to his next door neighbor, and, oh yeah, that'd be fine. And then they'd get on the phone and call their city councilman and say, no, I don't want chickens next to me. So it's a catch 22.
Yeah. There's not a lot of cities that do that. There's only a few that require neighbor approval.
Yeah. And we didn't want roosters the last time either. But with chickens, you know, they are dirty. And with that comes rodents, mice, rats, fox, and we do have coyotes that come to town too. I know the gentleman that had chickens right over the Highway 12 bridge by the car wash, 2 years ago, there was a fox with little pups sitting under his old dump truck. I'm sure they were going after his chickens, and I know I did call the police, and they went looking for it. So that's the issue with me. It's a safety thing, and we just got done with the bird flu epidemic, you know, 4 years ago, and I don't think we need that, especially with what's going on now. So that's my two cents. If any other members want to speak, go ahead. Vicki?
Well, you know, when Mr. Larson brought this to me a few months ago, I was super excited because I love chickens, and I think it's pretty cool when people can can grow their own food and supply food for themselves and teach their kids how to raise chickens and all that. But then we got the letter from the U of M and the one today from Select Genetics. And I guess that's where my concern comes in, because we do have, you know, poultry growers here. And we had that bird flu a couple years ago, and that was pretty bad. So I think we need to just really consider that before we go ahead and pass this. As much as I wanted to pass it, I'm just concerned about that. So that's my thought.
Can I comment on that?
Yeah,
so I did do some research on that as well, and you would be really hard-pressed to find any data that shows that, you know, that avian bird flu is coming from backyard chickens. You know, they're confined to a small area. It's only four birds. And to pass that from, you know, that to a Wilmer poultry or something like that would be really difficult. And most of those employees at those businesses also need to sign off to say that they don't have birds on their property as well. So, I mean, it's taken, most of it would be taken care of by their, you know, their employer.
All right. Kathy?
Thank you. Ben, you know, I very much enjoy you, and I think you've been involved in some pretty amazing initiatives. And I would like to support this item, but I really have to say I'm opposed to it. I think the folks that sent the letters in, I appreciate that, and I think they have good intentions. Some of them said they would raise chickens. Some said that they would not, but they wanted to voice their support of it. But Dr. Cardona is truly a leading expert in the industry. And I am aware of when there was the avian influenza in 2018, that one of the things that they were looking at were, you know, I don't know that that it was ever realized what the source of that outbreak was. But one of the things that they were considering was backyard chickens. And the oftentimes they are not vaccinated, and therein lies a problem. We have a low path avian influenza that's pretty typical in our area and really throughout the United States. The low path is not that uncommon. But what the concern is when a bird goes unvaccinated, it has the ability to mutate into high path, and that's where the concern comes in, is that happening. You know, I've actually, before this even came up, there was a bit of discussion with some colleagues and also with folks on the extension committees within the 10 counties that I work about backyard chickens, because there's been a real run on them this spring, as people are concerned about food sources and protein and things like that. And some of the concerns that we have been watching are posts on Facebook and things where, people saying, I'm going to buy them and put them in my bathtub, and they don't even realize that these chicks are going to grow up to be something that they're not going to want to be bathing with, right? And they're not going to want to keep them in their bathtub for very long. One gentleman shared with me that he was working in a store that sells them, not here in Candiohe County, but another county, and a family came up and they had collars that they had just picked, the kids had just picked off the shelves, because they were then going to buy these chicks and keep them in their living room and have a collar around them and take them out for walks and things like that. You know, another person posting on Facebook, I'm told that I need to have a heat lamp, but I don't have one, but I do have a kitchen hot plate. Will that do? No, that won't do. I mean, there's a lot of false ideas about what it takes to raise them. They're not a typical pet. You know, our cats and our dogs make a great pet. Some of the people in the letters referenced the teaching youth responsibility. Well, you can teach your youth responsibility through your cats and dogs and rabbits as well, but they're not the same risk for children becoming sick from mishandling them. There was also reference in it in regard to 4-H youth. The 4-H youth is a great program, and absolutely I support that. But those kids are taught how to properly manage and handle those the poultry that they are interacting with. But if these kids are not washing their hands, you know, we see the cute pictures of the little kid kissing the little chick at Easter time and that kind of thing. That is not a healthy thing to be doing because of the feces, and they can contract salmonella, they can contract E. coli, and these are not just mild illnesses. And so when people don't really understand the scope of the responsibility of having these chickens in their backyard, that can be problematic. I respect the police chief and his letter referencing his concerns about it. And I agree with what Rick had said. I could just envision that as well. We don't want to have to tell our neighbor no. And even if you do wholeheartedly say a yes at the beginning, you might get down the road and go, this is not what I bargained for. And you're right, the chickens cluck about 60 decibels. But do we want someone talking in our backyard 24 hours a day or, you know, throughout the day? And so when there are problems, it does end up with the police department, and we don't want issues with neighbors. And I just foresee this causing more problems than good. You know, when individuals are saying this is a source of protein during the COVID outbreak, it takes 6 months to get a hen to be able to lay eggs, 6 months down the road. And if they're looking at this is a food source for me, they can, you know, a chicken's ready to go at 12 weeks, but who's going to butcher that chicken? If they're not planning to do it at their home in their backyard or whatever, which you have questions about that, but then we're looking at butcher shops, and we all know that they are booked for how far out. So how much of a protein source is that for them? And if we've got four chickens, that's four meals. Or if you have a large family, that's two meals, right? And so I think people romanticize that idea. I know my daughter herself loves the idea of having chickens, but I can't imagine, I would not encourage her to be doing it, because I think it's a whole lot more work and effort than she realizes she might be getting into. And so that and the risk to our poultry industry, I cannot support it.
All right, thanks, Kathy. Sean?
Well, I will say I read all of the letters. There was more interest in chickens than there have been in many other issues that I thought would have more letters. But regardless, it seemed like most of the debate, if you would call it that, could be regulated within an ordinance. And so I thought we were going to have a discussion, not a thumbs down, before we even got to some of those points. But chicken coops, of course, were one of those things that can be regulated, and I understand that. And so for that one, I thought we can deal with that. Noise is another one of those things that can be regulated by the number of animals you would have and so on. I thought that could be included in an ordinance. The smell with setbacks and other things could also be, and as much as people take care of those animals, animal safety with proper fencing and those types of things can be regulated. And I understand with every one of those things, there is someone who must do that regulation. And that is another issue. Zoonotic diseases, however, was a non-starter for me. I kind of work in that field, and we just heard a bunch about chickens. Just so you know, all animals pretty much carry zoonotic diseases. Even our pets can carry zoonotic diseases, especially if they get access outside. There's all kinds of things that people can contract from your dogs and your cats and your rabbits, etc. I won't use all the big fancy names, but trust me, they're out there, and I do know they're big fancy names. The one compelling issue that I thought what has not been addressed in the sample ordinance, and I would have a difficulty figuring out how to do that, was just referenced from Select Genetics in the University of Minnesota, the vaccination issue. That, again, could probably be worked into an ordinance to have vaccinated chickens. However, I don't know the extent of what that security measure is. That is not my area. That would be something that I would be interested in more discussion points about, because that's the one unintended consequence, if you will, that we would need to address. But I think the other pieces have all been thoughtfully addressed and could be something that could be worked with. But I can understand the immediate opposition because that does create other people to have to regulate that. So there would have to be something else set up for that. But I was totally open to hearing the pros and cons. I've heard quite a bit of cons. It seems like a few folks kind of have their minds already made up before they came. I did not. But as I've been reading the letters, that's the one concern I have been. It's still sitting out there is that unintended consequence of vaccination piece. I know that you said you just started to explore some of that. And I'm not even talking about necessarily avian flu either. There are other components. I mean, I know that turkey and chicken facilities are very, very much regulated by what can be passed into those things. I have no idea what the history of that is. I did not research what kind of diseases have passed from backyard chickens to industry. But there have been definitely been diseases that have been passed from people into those industries before, and we would want to prevent that. So and if there are vaccines available for those things, that would be something that would have to be included in some type of an ordinance, I would think, especially given Wilmer's unique position as a poultry leader and having so many of those pieces around. But those are just some of the thoughts that I had looking through the letters and listening so far.
All right, thank you. Administrator Gramitz, do you have any comments?
I think they can always drag a comment out of somewhere. I think, I think generally speaking, this particular issue does draw a lot of emotion and nostalgia, you know, along with it. And in some ways, that's a good thing because it kind of reconnects people back to, you know, their food source. I've been in one community that's gone through this probably about 4 years ago, and we did allow chickens. And I believe we allowed up to six because chickens are a flocking bird. One chicken does not do well. The more chickens you have, the better off they are. And so I believe we allowed six chickens, six hens, and there was a lot of interest. But when people started seeing just what a chicken coop cost and put it together and what was required, I think on average there's probably like four or five people that actually, you know, kept chickens. Now, I'm not saying there aren't chickens in garages and chickens throughout the community because, you know, our local source of baby chicks, you know, the manager told me, he says, oh, heck yeah, I can, there's just chickens all over town. Just the neighbors aren't complaining about it and it's just not, you know, it's not being identified as a problem. So I would say that we probably do have chickens in the community already to some extent, but I would not expect to see 300 people come in asking for permits. I just don't see that. It did not happen when this came before me before. Like I say, four or five and I'd be really surprised if I didn't check today, but I'd be surprised if there's any more than that right now. But there are others that don't have a permit that do raise ducks, geese, chickens, and, you know, other critters that aren't allowed.
Thank you. Sean?
Just to piggyback on that, I would see if you had an ordinance that addressed all of these concerns people have, that's exactly what the result would be. There would be just a few people that would probably go through the struggle of bringing these chickens in. So I would not believe this is going to be a huge widespread thing throughout Wilmer. I think it's going to be very select people that are going to choose to do this, because they're to not do it is going to get you probably kicked out of the ability to do it fairly quickly, how I envisioned it, an ordinance being. So it's good to hear that where it was put in, it was not citywide, everybody growing chickens, because I think that could amplify some of those problems that people talked about. So I don't envision, and maybe I'm wrong, I don't envision hundreds of people going out to do backyard chickens, especially if the restrictions that I would anticipate that had to be in an ordinance were put in place. So,
Vicki.
So I'm wondering, the vaccines that you talk about, Sean, do you know, would those prevent the kind of diseases that the U of M and Select Genetics are talking about?
And again, I am not an expert in that, Vicki, but it will not prevent salmonella, but you can get E. coli from your dog too, and you can get that from your cat. E. coli is in anything that has a vertebrae. I mean, you can get that from just about any animal. However, I don't know all the vaccines that they're giving those animals, and that's why I say I'm not sure. But I can tell you histoplasmosis, that's referenced in a letter that someone sent. There is no vaccine for birds for that. That just doesn't exist. But that would be one of those things that I would say is a risk anytime you encounter any kind of an animal. There are things you could get. I mean, your dog can have leptospirosis or Giardia, and your cat can have toxoplasma, or your cat can have Valentinium coli. I mean, animals inherently carry things, and we can give them to our animals. COVID-19 is one of those examples where it looks like we probably gave it to some animals this time around. Cats and dogs have both now come out positive. So zoonotic things just happen. So that's not as much of a concern. But if it is a thing that can be transmitted to our poultry production that we do out here, that is something I need to listen to. And so I don't know what those specifics are, because they just referenced that these animals need to be properly vaccinated. So that, Vicki, is where my question was right from the get-go. Are there things that we could vaccinate chickens for here that would prevent any kind of contamination of our poultry production? That's probably something that other cities don't have to deal with. Minneapolis didn't have to deal with it, but a Wilmer really does, because that is kind of what we're about.
I'm just thinking, I don't think there'll be a lot of people that would want chickens either, only probably around Easter when they go to, say, like Runnings and they see the baby chicks. But then what happens to them in a few months when people know how messy and how dirty they are? And that's where it comes in, where you have an ordinance and 5 to 10% wreck it for the other people. So, and even with that, you're still going to have the mice and rats, and could have the coyotes and fox. So I don't think the city is a place for it. So Ben?
So I think, a well-wrote ordinance and a permit pack that is maybe a little bit of work would weed out some of maybe those bad eggs. I think if you got to put a lot in on the front end, with money to buy a coop or build a coop, money for the feed, money to buy the chickens. I know for myself, if I'm going to spend $500 on, a coop and chickens, I'm not going to only keep them for a month. I'm going to make sure I do my research and that I know how to keep them. So, and like Mr. Grammett said, there's probably not, if you got to put all that work in on the front end, there's probably not going to be a ton of people that are going to do this. Out of the 14 people that wrote in letters, most of them have kept chickens in the past. Some of them are actually keeping chickens now, but they are keeping them outside of city limits. It would be interesting, did Select Genetics or Dr. Cardona show any data or anything to show that, like avian bird flu was coming from backyard chickens into barns? That would be my question, I guess.
Dr. Ramstead, do you have something to add?
Yes, Dr. Cardona did reference a number of articles in support of her argument. about.
Could you send that to me so I could read those?
Sure.
Thanks.
I don't want to see what happened to the little community east of us with the police officer that got in trouble with getting rid of a chicken. That made the national news. So that they can't live that one down.
I think they were able to keep 50 chickens east of us. So that was probably where the issue came.
Okay. Vicki, do you have a question?
I'm just wondering, Mr. Grommans, have they had any complaints in New Ulm from that?
Mr. Chair and committee members, yes, there were complaints. They range from, I've got a chicken in my front yard, and I don't know where it came from. Chickens have legs and they get out. Kids leave the door to the coop open and they get out. We did have one individual, it's kind of a unique situation, actually had a horse barn and a small farm, and the city grew around it. And when we allowed chickens, he went and bought four roosters and six hens and turned them loose. And at 4:15 every morning, the roosters started crowing. And needless to say, he had to get rid of the roosters for sure. And the hens, I think, went out to a farm or someplace. Again, it wasn't. Somebody who was trying to follow the chicken coop design, he just thought, I've got this little horse thing going on. I've got a horse. I think I'd like to have chickens. And he did not follow any rules whatsoever. That did create lots of issues. But I also, in all honesty, have to say that the Shell's Brewery peacocks climb the hill and stand on the back of people's decks, and if you've ever heard a peacock crow, create a whole lot more noise, than a bunch of hen chickens. Okay, so it's all a linear thing. There's always something worse, but in the big scheme of things, when I was city manager in that community, I did not hear any complaints. Although I was one of those individuals that saw the chicken running around.
John?
Just to that point, I just looked over the endorsement or the letters that include the references from the doctor of the University of Minnesota. The disease that's cited in most of those references is Newcastle disease, which I just Googled, and there is a vaccine available for that disease. But that is the one disease that was linked to backyard chickens going to industrial pieces. The other one, there's another one that references salmonella, which I've already mentioned. Birds carry salmonella, as do small turtles and other creatures that we can encounter. But the Newcastle disease is the one that has been cited directly to backyard chickens. And as I just said, it is a vaccine. There is a vaccine available for that. I do not know what that would take for a chicken owner to do that. I know a lot of that stuff is very regulated. And I think it does make a reference as well that a lot of, one of the letters that somebody wrote that, chickens are often seen as something that doesn't need veterinary care. And that'd be something that we would probably need to examine as well, is that they do and should be subjected to veterinary care as our other animals that we would have. Just like the vaccine sequence for dogs and cats, there could be one established for backyard chickens. So again, I don't know how far that would go, but that is something that we would want to take a look at since we do have the poultry industry here.
Kathy?
So Brian, did you in the past have a vaccine as a requirement? And if so, how do you enforce that, knowing that the turnover is greater than every 2 years? It's not like you buy that chicken and you've got it forever more. If you're really growing it to produce for protein, you know, you're turning it over maybe every 12 weeks. So what would happen, and how would you enforce that to make sure that's happening?
Yeah, that's a good question. That never came up in the prior discussions about having chickens vaccinated. Actually kind of surprised me when I saw it in the letters that were sent and submitted. But I think generally speaking, I think you'd have to, I don't know, put an ankle bracelet on one, you know, each chicken, and, you know, tag them, and they've got a number, and you could sit there and say, okay, number 6215 has its vaccinations, and the police chief would have to personally go out there and verify that the leg tags are numbered appropriately. You know, it's just, as I think was identified earlier, it's how much work do you want to put into it?
All right, Ben?
So I will say, for, you can buy a Newcastle disease vaccine. That is available online. And I will say, too, you know, a lot of our poultry producers, their biosecurity is so intense, I just don't see how that would get in. I mean, so I used to do refugee employment services, where I would go out to the Wilmer Poultry Barns, and you would walk in there, you would have to change your clothes and take off pretty much everything you had, put on clothes that were at the site, and then you would walk into, or the, I think you had to shower first, and then you would get, like, your boots, you would step into, like, a thing that would take anything off of them, and then you would go into the barn. So there's so much biosecurity, and most of their employees that also have to sign off that they're not going to keep chickens. That's a clause in most of their employee agreements.
Kathy?
So, Ben, I would actually use that as an argument as to why we do not want the chickens. They practice such incredible biosecurity because the threat is there. And even with that horrendous biosecurity, we still had the avian influenza outbreak that we did. And how many birds were put down because of that, depopulated? I forget, it was millions. And what it cost the industry, what it cost our major employers, and for four or five families, I'm sorry, I do not think that it is a risk that I think that we as a city should be taking. You know, I can understand why in New Ulm that they might do that. They don't have major turkey producers in their backyard. We do. And you think of what that generates for this community, and I don't think that that is a risk that should be taken.
All right, thank you. Well, this is for information only. I think it's time to wrap this up. Does the committee want to do anything with this? Make a motion to send it to the council, or just let it die?
Chair Fagerly?
Yeah.
Staff would like a vote on whether we should develop this further and then come back to the committee if you decide you want to pursue this more.
Does anyone
we would
want
use
to...
Mr. Larson's... I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Does anyone want to pursue this? Is there a motion to pursue it? Vicki?
I guess I would like to know more about the vaccine. If that was something that could help us, then possibly we could move forward if we had, you know, a good ordinance in place where it was more difficult to get a permit for it, so that just serious people would do it.
Well, the problem with that is we have an ordinance now for dogs and cats, and I think we probably have like five cats in town. And the dogs are supposed to be licensed and have a vaccine too. And every time someone gets bit, oh, they get hauled to the pound, checked for rabies. So just because you have an ordinance doesn't make sure that the people are going to follow it. So to me, it's more of a hassle than it's worth. I'd daughter and son-in-law have chickens, and they're a lot of work, and they're stinky. So anyone, Sean?
I will echo what Vicki said. I think you should give it its day, if you would. I don't think it needs to go to the council at this point, because I raised the question at the beginning, I'll raise it again. That vaccine question is an issue for us. I can get where it's not a new home, but I think Councilmember Schwantes also just said it very eloquently. That is what we do out here, and that's why, Ben, I brought it up, because that's the only thing that I could not see that an ordinance could easily cover. I know they smell, and I know they make noise, and I know coops can look bad, and I know that if you got a hole in your fence, we got foxes. I know I just saw a family of six foxes, cubs, I won't tell you where they are in case they want to do a relocation plan, but the people that live in that neighborhood have been taking all kinds of photos and posting them. You're going to have them in the town, and they're here. And I would imagine, Rick, there probably are chickens here too. They're not regulated. They can pose a risk. At least this would give you the ability to do it. And I don't think it would be very, I really sincerely do not believe if you put the right restrictions, it would be widely used. But if it were to come as an ordinance, and we acknowledge, and maybe we're going to be probably, I don't even know if any of them require Newcastle vaccinations, but it would be a shout out to the importance of our poultry if we were to examine it. And if we discover that this is not something that is congruent with the poultry, and if there are more studies that show that these are a problem, I think it should be stopped dead in its tracks. But if it's something that could happen, I'm not opposed to it. But I don't want to use a whole lot of staff time to explore it either. It's just that one question on vaccinations. And if we can find where it can conform and not threaten our local industries, that's the only part I would explore. Because I think the other pieces can be addressed, but that threat to our local economy is a bigger issue.
So you want staff to check into that and let us know on Monday?
I don't want to assign staff that unnecessarily. I don't know what the best way to go about doing that. I heard staff say they want to have a motion up or down right now, and I don't feel like I should do that either, because I think we're missing that information. So I know that wasn't a good answer for you, Rick. But
does anyone want to make a motion to proceed with this? I don't see one. So it dies with the lack of votes. So there you go, David.
John? Chair, Councilman. Yep.
Well, if anybody were to come up with some information about that, whomever were to discover it, of course, someone can always bring the idea back here at another time with that additional information. I just don't want to occupy staff time in the current situation that we have going on. I don't want them out exploring this particular issue if they have other relevant things. So I don't want somebody to say, well, while we're in the throes of COVID, Nesky has people out looking up chicken spreading diseases. If it's an easy answered question, we should be able to have an answer to it in a few days. If it's much more complicated than that, then it's not going to happen.
Okay. Ben, one last question.
Sure. So I do have some resources that could look into that between the Public Health Law Center and the Statewide Health Initiative Program. They could easily come up with an answer, I would assume.
If you find out, let Dr. Ramstead know then.
Okay.
All right. So, David, for the time being, nothing to do on this.
All right. Sounds good. Okay. Thank you, committee.
Any other questions or concerns by the committee? Any new updates, David?
Chair and committee members, not really. We've been working pretty hard on getting the Renaissance Zone stuff done. I know I sent an update to Brian, and that has pretty much all the latest for the department. Permits are up to about $8-9 million. So they've actually been pretty robust. Home startups have been kind of negligible at two for a total of about $500,000. We have a couple of items, some housekeeping items that we're hopefully going to work through with Brian over the next couple weeks.
All right. The Candy Mall, have you heard anything there? Are they going to open any more stores up for online or pickup, or just waiting for the governor?
As far as I know, a number of the stores have drive-by pickup, but no, they are not. They're not open for going in and things like that. I think JCPenney is. That's about it. I know we're working on the tool shop. That's still under construction.
Okay. All right. And there's one thing. Can you check our ordinance on semi-tractors and trailers? I've noticed over by the new apartments, I call them Rascal Flats, but by Pizza Hut there, I noticed there's some semis with trailers parked on the street, and I noticed there's semis just on Lakeland Drive in parking lots of apartments, and over on Fifth Street I saw one, and I don't think they're allowed it to park overnight in town. So can you check on that and report back on Monday?
Sure.
Please? All right. Anything else? Sean?
I just wanted to thank Ben for bringing forward his chicken ordinance. It's good when the public does grassroots ideas like that, and I know it looks like an uphill climb, but thank you, and I wish more citizens would bring forward ideas like that, and to see that's kind of how government's supposed to work. So thank you, sir.
No problem. I'll look into a few of these things and get back to you guys. So
yeah. Thank you.
College is almost done, so I got plenty of free time.
Anything else from anybody? Get a motion to adjourn then?
So moved.
Second.
We're adjourned. Thank you.